to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, Mopac Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures down 850. NASDAQ Futures up 37. Dow Futures down 120. Yesterday we had kind of a little bit of a mixed bag, but mostly the upside. As we flipped around on the NASDAQ stocks, instead of getting hammered, went up. So, Lou, how are you, bud?
Very good this morning. How are you?
Fine. So you guys went from fires to 14 degrees during a football game to snow to now where are you?
It's seasonal here, which means it'll be 40 today and 70 tomorrow. We're in the middle of that sort of odd weather cycle that you get near the mountains with temperatures now that come out of fronts coming down out of Montana and Wyoming that come straight down and drop the temperature pretty quickly, and then we get a gradual warming. So it's it's fine. All I care about is that we get some moisture, and I really don't care whether it's snow or rain or ice or whatever.
Don't you hate those Montana people? First, they want their vote to count three times as much, and they send you their bad weather.
Well, I like Montana. It's lovely up there, but it's the Canadians that I blame for the cold weather.
Ah.
That's where it really comes from. It's Canadian cold fronts.
Say hoser, eh?
which interestingly enough, now that I think about it, was the way that Bud Grant was described when he moved from Winnipeg to Minnesota, because he was so emotionalist. The press in Minnesota described him as a Canadian cold front moving into Minnesota and dropping the temperature.
He was a pretty good guy, though, wasn't he?
That's great.
I personally like Bud, and he and my father had a friendship that lasted from 1956 when my father first played for him. You don't think of coaches getting to be good friends with players, but that's exactly what happened when my dad first played for him, and until the end. And when my father's memorial service was held at the Viking headquarters in June of 2019, Bud was there. I mean, he's obviously pretty frail, but he said, you'd be lucky to have a friend like that for as long as we together. I think I may have mentioned this on the show. They had a gin running game going that never stopped once my father came back as a coach in 1959. They played a continuous gin running game that never ended until Bud retired.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's still with us, or is he gone?
Yeah, he's still here. He's 90 something.
Wow.
Really an interesting guy. I one of my few claims to fame is that I got fishing lessons from Bud Grant. We'd go out fishing, and I was an idiot. And Bud finally just sort of walked over, took my rod, and said, "Look, this is how you cast. It hurts me to watch you try to cast a lure out into the lake, and you're likely to hurt somebody else. So here, this is how you do it." And my father was not anywhere near the outdoorsman that Bud was, and he was one of these guys that his idea of a good time was driving up into the Gunflint Trail in northern Minnesota, pulling a canoe on his back, and taking off and doing a straight 18-hour, paddle, traverse, portage kind of hike.
You're not going to believe my brother's was really into that when he was younger, too. Throw the canoe on his shoulder, and off he'd go.
Well, Bud was also a hunter, and, he took some flack for some of the hunting trips that he did. But he, he got my father into hunting, and you know, they went moose hunting together, and deer hunting, and crow hunting.
You could maybe get me to fishing. You're not going to get me to shoot anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I grew up with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, if you're into it. And those guys make sure that they, you know, they do it in a way where they eat everything and clean everything. And I mean, they're really into it. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to. Is my buddy Butcher Al, who's been on the show a couple times, as I said, you know, Al, I've always respected the fact that you enjoy that. You make sure that nobody, you know, to the extent that nobody gets injured, even though you're shooting something. You do it the proper way. You clean everything up. It's all environmentally sound. I said, you know, I respect what you do. Just don't ask me to come with you. You know, just.
By the way, Bud is 93.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
He. I don't know if he did it. I think he may have had his last garage sale this year, but about 5 or 6 years ago, he started holding garage sales at his house of Viking memorabilia, and he would sit. You know, he literally would sit on his front lawn, you know, with all the stuff out, and you could just walk up to him and buy it. You know, game balls and helmets and jerseys and jackets and, you know, sweatshirts and socks. I mean, it was hilarious. And he would hold a garage sale. Yeah, I don't think he did it this year. I think it finally got, or either he did it, this was the last one, or it finally got too much for him. But, you know, he is, I hesitate to use the word revered, but I think that's the right word in sports circles in Minnesota. We have an extremely loyal fan base. If you look at some of the Viking Facebook pages, you know, there are comments and throw pictures relating to Bud and that coaching staff that are constantly coming up, and you know, lots of reminiscences. In fact, they put a clipping for the Minneapolis paper somebody had saved up the other day that said, it was, the headline was, you know, Grant leaves Canada to come to Vikings. You know, Canadian coach, you know, leaves the Canadian league, etc. And that, of course, sparked a memory. Since we're reminiscing, that sparked a memory. I was in sixth grade when we moved, and when my father moved with Bud down to take the Viking job. And I had gotten a transistor radio for Christmas in 1967, which was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was listening to it that morning as I woke up and got ready to go to school. And the announcer on the sports section said, well, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which was the CFL team that they were coaching for, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers would have rather woken up with a case of jungle mouth than finding itself with two cavities, which I thought was, at sixth grade, I thought was really clever. Maddie won't know what jungle mouth is. Chief, do you remember those commercials?
I remember the commercials, but I don't really remember what it was.
It was for Lavoris or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Mouthwash. Anyway.
That's not still around anymore, is it, Lavoris?
You couldn't do this now, but a guy, you know, it showed a guy, oh, you know, in pajamas shuffling into the bathroom, and he pulls the medicine cabinet mirror closed so that he could see himself in the mirror, and suddenly he's got a monkey head on. you know, this was what your mouth felt like in the morning, jungle mouth.
That was that was pre-Listerine, wasn't it, Lavoris?
Listerine's been around since the 1800s.
All right, okay.
I don't think so, but the commercial was, you know, running pretty consistently in 1966, 67, and so that was the reference by the sportscaster who made the comment. That's one of those things that stays with you when you, you know. It was the first. Sort of public recognition or public acknowledgement that my father and Bud were going to the Vikings. But anyway, so much for reminiscing.
Well, here's a chill for you. I'm just looking at the headline on CNBC talking about changing the subject. Biden COVID advisor says U.S. lockdown, total lockdown of 4 to 6 weeks, could control pandemic and revive economy. How the hell would that revive the economy?
It's not going to revive. So, is it true? Tell me it's true that Lori Lightfoot, your mayor, made some kind of insanely weird and creepy video about awakening from a dream and suddenly finding out that science is back in control now. If you could find that video, I thought I saw something like it on Twitter yesterday. If you could find that video, please note it. I just could not believe that she was actually, somebody in her staff thought this was a good idea to make this thing. It looks totally weird. But the idea, what we're now seeing, we see this here in Denver too, or in Colorado. We are approaching what we believe to be is the classical definition of insanity, which is not just doing something that doesn't work over and over again and expecting the same results, but doubling down on stuff that doesn't work and doing it even more intensely, and then being surprised when it doesn't work. We've gone to a stay at home kind of lockdown here in Denver with a mandatory mask usage, and somebody had the temerity to post the graph of cases. You can't tell any difference when masking is introduced and when masking stops. And I see this. I'm really wondering whether the Biden election or pending Biden election, although we don't know for sure, is being seen as some kind of license by governors to go berserk. Cuomo in New York, the guy who probably is responsible for killing more Americans individually than anybody else.
Yep.
With his nursing home.
Without a doubt.
Has now locked down, closed all bars, all restaurants, all gyms, and I mean closed. And you can't use them. The only way you can get food from a restaurant now is by takeout in New York City. And I'm just going, what are you guys doing? I mean, I know the case count is going up, but we're not measuring active cases.
Well,
you're not talking about exposure.
Somebody who's not sick, how can you be a case?
I don't know, but that's what they're counting.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of looking at this going, what are you doing? I have personal knowledge here in Colorado of someone who thought they were exposed at work or was told that there was somebody tested positive at work, went and got the test, stood in line for 3 hours at the drive-through testing spot here, or sat in line for 3 hours at the drive-through testing spot here, got her test, and then got on the website to find out what the results were, and her record has been wiped. There's no record of her taking the test. I commented to her, well, what do you expect? I mean, this is government contractor, lowest bidder, friend of the governor, whoever they selected for the testing. This is what you would expect.
Well, I don't know if you were listening. If you were listening yesterday, I'm actually going this morning for my antibody test.
Okay. Is there a reason why?
Well, because 2 weeks ago to the day, I went and had a test, and they said I was positive, although I had no symptoms. So I spent the 10 days at home doing a show from home. Maddie did yeoman's work, as he always does. Came in, and I was on the phone, and I hope it didn't sound too bad. But
Did that Dunkin' Donuts go out of business in the meantime?
They have not been open before 6 o'clock since this started. So we've been coffeeless.
We've been struggling.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's the end of the Stocks and Jocks World Headquarters Breakfast Buffet.
Well, the Starbucks across the street closed.
Like out of business closed.
Out of business closed. This area down here, you wouldn't recognize it, Lou.
Downtown Chicago, I assume it's similar in all the major downtowns, but it's just completely decimated.
So,
it's certainly happening. It's certainly happening here in Denver. Although, let me just throw this out to you because this is noteworthy. Denver does not have the kind of diversity, although they're getting there, the kind of diversity of dining spots outside the downtown that Chicago does. And so if you really want to get a decent meal, there's 4 or 5 spots in Denver where you can go, but they're all within the city limits. And so, as those places are shut down because the mayor's an idiot, as those places are shut down and restricted, yeah, they crash. And I don't understand we've talked about this. I don't understand how this keeps getting prolonged when you have lots of evidence that this stuff simply doesn't work.
Well, not only that, Lou, I'll mention you. I mentioned yesterday, it's probably worth repeating what my doctor told me, because I'm, you know, everyone knows I'm an open book. The if we have 12,000 cases a day in Illinois, which we've been getting positives, somebody somewhere, some scientist, some advisor to Biden, some advisor to Jay Pritzker, or a lawyer, somebody, in the back of their mind, they have to go, okay, in 10 days, it's 12,000 more people we don't have to worry about. Because there might be a few deaths in there that are strictly from the COVID. Now, I understand, since I know people, if you have anything else wrong with you at the time you get the COVID, be it pneumonia, strep throat, or whatever, you got trouble. I mean, you're probably not dying, but you're struggling for a while. It's still not a spectacular disease, and it's a bad thing. I mean, I've never once said it wasn't, somewhere along the line, we're talking about 100,000 cases countrywide a day. So in 10 days, that's going to be 1 million people that you don't have to worry about anymore. They never get to go out. They never get to go anyplace.
You're anticipating one of the topics that I had noted down for discussion today. So let me just say that so much of this is again driven by this demand for control or this conception of controllingness, and so we have to be seen as being in control. And so we're going to restrict civil liberties. I was talking with one of my attorney friends here about the rule that you can't have more than 10 people in your house. And I'm going, I'm almost sure that's per se unconstitutional.
Sure.
Because right now, to restrict a freedom of association, freedom of assembly, you got to have a pretty doggone good reason to do it. And I'm not sure, I don't think that the science justifies that.
The science, whenever you see something, Lou, all I'm asking these people to do. I hope it's not what you say, it's what people hear, but I hope what people are hearing, what I'm saying is that there is no doubt that the world is a worse place because this disease showed up, and it's eviscerated older people, it's done a really lot of bad stuff. But along the way, it seems to be getting, let me tell you what my doctor said. He calls me up and he goes, you tested positive. And I said, how the hell did I do that? And he goes, I feel fine. He goes, do you have a cold? And I said, yeah, actually I do have a little cold. I get every time this year when the weather changes, people hear me coughing on the air. And he goes, well, the way I look at it, it's one of two things, because it's all happened in the last 7 to 10 days. He goes, nothing changes that quick normally. He said, either this cold going around is a COVID cold, and these guys have these tests so sensitive now that the COVID cold is tripping the test. He said, or the virus is continuing to mutate like we think it is into something way more contagious but way less virulent like viruses do.
Yeah.
And he goes, we've had not just the incredible amount of cases that have increased in the last 7 to 10 days. He goes, nobody's sick. He goes, something has changed.
Supposedly hospitalizations are going up, and the death count is going up. But I mean, in terms of the overall percentages, it's going down.
Right.
Yeah, the report this week for Tuesday, so 2 days ago, I haven't seen the one for yesterday, over 60,000 hospitalized, which is the most ever, and it's 2,000 more than the previous all-time high, which was on April 15th. So to say no one's sick would be incorrect.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I mean. But in terms of the percentages of people who are sick with it, the percentages are going down.
Right.
And because there are so many more cases being identified or positives being identified. So the percentages are actually dropping. We're getting back toward capacity, but we're not there yet, and we likely won't be because this will plateau. And so I'm sort of mystified, but I want to go.
Let me just say real quick, what I want these people to do, the quote scientists, I don't want them to be looking at April's disease or May's disease. I want them to look at everything that's happening today with a blank sheet of paper and figure out a plan for today. The first thing I want to do is if I'm in Jay's place other than dodging the hamburgers, but it was a cheap shot, is I want to know the 149 people who died yesterday, allegedly from COVID. I want somebody in that room to go through every single one of those death certificates and find out how many of them are legit. I'm going to say maybe a third. That's just a guess. After hearing from one of my friends say that one of his buddies just died of prostate cancer, and they couldn't go see the guy, so they dragged him out of the hospital with 2 days left to live, brought him home for hospice, he dies at home. The hospital never said boo to the people at home about him testing positive for anything. Yet on the death certificate was COVID and prostate cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what the real numbers are. I'm not asking any of these people to take my point of view. Matter of fact, I don't even have a point of view. My point of view is that people are not looking, they're not getting the right numbers. They're not looking at this in an analytical manner, even though they got the big S tattooed to their head like they're a scientist. It's so political, it's scary. I just want people to look at what's happening today and make the right call.
The public policy incentives are to distort the numbers.
Right.
And I don't trust, we haven't trusted the numbers from day one. So that leads me now to the point that you alluded to and something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of days, because as an employment lawyer, this is coming, okay? This mindset is coming. Watching people freak out, people who get their news exclusively from certain sources, like my mother, who have now been terrified of getting exposed to this disease, and watching people freak out when somebody, quote, tests positive, unquote, for whatever. We're going to start, I can see it coming, a digital registry, because this will give the public health people something to do, a digital registry of people who've had it and are now immune. And you're going to have to show on this digital registry that you are safe before you're going to be allowed to come back to work, or maybe allowed to fly in an airplane, or maybe to eat at a restaurant, or use a library, or get on a bus. Yeah, I mean, I can see this coming. One of the amazing and disturbing things that's happened on my phone, and I don't know if you guys have this there, but my phone, when I now turn it on and go to like the App Store to look for something or onto certain social media applications, I get a bar notice at the top of my screen saying, have you signed up for the Colorado COVID tracking application? This will give you a notice if you might have been exposed to somebody who's positive.
Lou, last night I was reading some article, of course, you know,
first of all, do you guys have something like that in Illinois?
I was just going to say.
Something like that there?
Well, I'm just going to say that somebody came out, this is nationwide, an article was written to essentially show that the governors and mayors that are closing bars and restaurants are correct. Somebody was able to chart, I don't know how many people that tested positive for COVID, and by checking their phone records and where they've been, have decided that virtually all those people have been in a bar, a restaurant, a gym, especially if you're between the ages of 25 and like 40 or something. You've been to a bar, restaurant, or gym, so they're convinced that that's where you got it. Now the governors are right. Now they're tracking your movements after you test positive. You don't even know they're doing it. And this is this.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, whether these people are given.
Let me ask you, Lou. Positively Orwellian.
I know, but if I want to do a study like that, and I would say, gee, I'd really want to know, say, for instance, if Matty Weber has a cold. I want to know, God, everywhere he's been, just in case, where does somebody get a cold? How the hell do I, without governmental approval or without something, how the hell do I figure out where the hell Matty's been because of his phone? How do I get that info? Just a regular stiff doing a study.
The testing the testing station that this friend went to, where she was then wiped from having her, the record was then deleted or wiped or miscoded, so she can't find it now. That center says, give us an email, give us your phone number so we can call you if you test positive. Well, now that that information is linked to your name, and of course that information is linked to your name across all kinds of government records. So if you come in as a positive test and they say, give us a phone number, that phone number can be linked to a test which can be linked to you if they want to do it. Generally, the tracking surveys that I've seen don't or specifically say, look, we have, these are just phone numbers associated with positive tests. We don't have names on these numbers. And I'm going, oh yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You're just not publishing it right now.
Jeff was on yesterday.
But you will.
Jeff was on yesterday and said, anybody can get people's names with their phone numbers.
Oh yeah.
I can't. Well, but I mean, well, but somebody can.
Chief, that data, Colorado sells that data. I assume Illinois does too. Your driver's license data, which contains, you know, which has links to your phone number and email and everything else. I mean, I was getting text messages on my phone from various political organizations and campaigns. How are they doing that? I didn't give them my number, number one. No, but they bought it from the state. More importantly, they have an exemption from the various consumer privacy statutes that limit the use of that kind of information.
Where do they get that?
The government isn't limited by that. The government can sell that information, the state government anyway. This idea that your medical records, I mean, this is the next move in our public health system, and, you know, Obamacare and its analogs. Your health information is going to become public property. And as public property, we can sell it, and we can use it in a way
that violates
the most basic tenets of your privacy.
Hold on to that great thought until after the break. SP Futures down 12, NASDAQ Futures up 25, Dow Futures down 191. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Mel Weber. Mr. Lou Michaels with us as well. S&P futures now down 12 and a quarter. NASDAQ futures up 24. We're having this swing back and forth between the two and the Dow in the last few days, or really ever since the vaccine was hinted at the other day, and even before that. Dow down 200. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 127, 1%, and they were up yesterday. A lot of these have just come back from yesterday's stuff. FTSE down 38, that's 0.6%. CAC around down 60, that's a full 1.1%. Over in Asia, Nikkei, which has been strong lately, up 171.7%. Shanghai down 3, call that flat. Hang Seng down 57, call that flat. Those guys are... yesterday, just in the way of just what I'm saying, how wild this is, Dow is down 23, S&P up 27, NASDAQ up 232 after getting hammered the 2-3 days before. So it's all over the black. 10-year yield, 0.94. It actually came down a little bit. Bund, minus 0.51. That's unchanged from yesterday. In Japan, positive 0.02, so that's down a basis point. Oil, down 24 cents, but still over 41 at 41.21. Brent down 23 cents, 43.57. Natural gas down a penny to 3.02. And we got gold is up 7.10, 18.68, but still, whenever it gets over 1,900 now, there's sellers, so how long that's going to last. Silver unchanged at 24.27. Copper unchanged at 3.14. Matty, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no significant delays to speak of, actually. So that's great news. Only crash in the area right now is in the southwestern suburbs, Route 53 at 75th Street. There is an accident, but everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be a very pleasant mid-November day. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 54. Right now it is crystal clear and 38 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 74 today. Right now it's clear and 45. In sports, college football last night, Northern Illinois was blown out by Central Michigan 40-10. NFL football, Thursday night football tonight. 7:20 kickoff, a pretty good one here on Fox between the Colts and the Titans. So looking forward to that. And lastly, the Masters. Yes, the Masters in November are underway. They just teed off over the last 10 or 15 minutes or so. A few guys have finished hole one. And we're off and running down in Augusta. So looking forward to that.
Manny, who are the four guys that the honorary tee-off guys these days since Arnie's dead and all those guys are dead?
Does Jack still do it?
I think he does, but I'm not sure.
I'd have to look. I bet I can find that.
All right.
Back to you.
So, Lou, we've got...
Let's not lose track of our registry, our coronavirus registry discussion.
How do you, two things I wanted to bring up. How do you, actually, you know what I did a little this weekend, believe it or not, is I dug into some of the history of the 1918 pandemic, which comparing pandemics, I mean, if you're dead, you're dead, but that thing knocked off more people than the bubonic plague. So it was pretty bad. And
it killed more people than World War One.
Yeah. So that was 1918, somewhat in the 1919. People on their own pretty much stayed at home and wore masks and so forth. I don't know if that helped, but they did. And somewhere along the line, the virus, which was a flu virus, it's not a COVID virus, the virus continued to mutate because if you happen to be a virus, which none of us are, you really don't want to kill the host that fast because you don't get to go very far if the guy you're in dies. So... viruses tend to get less virulent because they do better if we can jump from person to person, and a person doesn't die. I mean, I'm not putting logic into a virus, but that's the way they tend to operate. Now, some don't, you know, the measles and so forth. Anyway, this, so this thing by 1920 or 21 had mutated to the point where it was pretty much gone. And somewhere along the line, people, I don't think there was governors and mayors making these calls, people decided it was now safe to essentially go out. Now, there never, to this day, there is not a vaccine for that thing. And it has come back in various other forms. It was part of, this is H1N1. But it has come back in 68. It was a horrible thing. People,
but, remember. But not in that form.
Not in that form, but it has come back in, I think it was 91.
Variations of it. In fact,
yeah.
One of the most frightening things that I read about the 1918 epidemic and its aftermath was the efforts by people in the 1980s and 1990s who were researching it after the swine flu debacle of 1976, who were researching it and in fact went to places like Norway and Alaska and exhumed bodies out of the permafrost who had died from the Spanish influenza in an effort to try to get a copy or see if they could find a virus. And of course, they found potentially active virus in those bodies. And it scared the living daylights out of everybody.
Yeah, oh, got you.
Because they could theoretically, we were on the verge of releasing, or the possibility of releasing this stuff again into a population that would have almost no immunity to it. At least that was the theory.
Well, that was the original one, not the dumbed down version that went after a while. Yeah, you don't want the original one back.
No, and that's what they were. But that's what they were trying to find. There were no samples. There's only a couple of samples, I think, at the USAMRID or whoever it is that keeps the samples of infectious disease tissue in Washington. There are samples from 1921, but nobody knows whether they've got any virulence left or anything like that. So they were looking for bodies that had been, you know, claimed by the virus that had been frozen. And of course, the people buried in the permafrost would be a likely source.
How do you go about finding a body in the permafrost?
Well, in Nome, for example, and in places in Norway, they had grave, you know, cemeteries.
Oh, these are regular cemeteries, right?
In 1918.
These are cemeteries where the cemeteries are frozen year round.
Yeah, you know, they chipped and blasted holes in the permafrost and dropped the bodies in and then sealed them. So, you know, basically remained frozen all year. And when they went in and exhumed some of these corpses, they were able to find samples of the virus that appeared to be active.
This is yet another reason that we don't want global warming.
Well, yeah, that's right, because...
That's all we need.
As you see, and they're finding again, they're finding some of this stuff in Siberia as animals that died 40, 50, 60,000 years ago are starting to exhume from the grounds, come out from the ground, and are unfrozen. You know, all the pathologies that are associated with those animals are still with the corpses. And so those things thaw out. And, you know, nobody knows whether some guy chopping up a muskox or a mammoth in, you know, Norilsk is going to be exposed to some horrible thing that we haven't seen on Earth for 30,000 years.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have any breakfast.
So the question now is, with Corona and the digital tracking apps that we have, are you going to have to show on an app within, you know, the next 6 months? And boy, if there was an administration that would put something like this in play, you know, the president elect or the alleged president elect is the guy to do it, or the people around him are the guys to do it. Rahm Emanuel's brother doesn't think he should live past 75 anyway. Are we going to see a digital app on your phone that just says,
"Lou, how do you?
This guy's safe, and Lou, you can't get in. You can't get on an airplane.
Let me
you can't get into a restaurant without it."
Let me get this. Bring back to a much bigger question. I mean, I've been railing all week, and I won't today, or maybe who knows? Maybe I will later. But regarding the Fed, when you do stuff and people don't know what you're doing, you just keep doing it the same thing over and over again. Now you're up to $7 trillion. You can't let the stock market go down. You got you've got your shtick. You've got your thing you're doing. Now, I'm going to say Mandy Weber is getting to the age where he actually has some sense. Lou, when I was 25, if there was such a thing as a smartphone, if you were to tell me, by the way, these people are going to have your medical records the way things are going, Lou, I wouldn't have given it a second thought. I wouldn't have been hadn't been to a doctor in 5 years and wasn't going to go for another 15. I wouldn't give a crap. It's just the way people, it's not something that you would think about.
That's because your life experience hasn't, at that age, either hasn't seen the way this kind of information can be misused and is likely to be misused.
What I'm saying is,
or you've been so desensitized to having your information all over the place that it doesn't bother you.
But what I'm saying is the people who, the stuff we've said on the show today and where this can lead, you know, you and I talk about it and some people think it's funny that, you know, your easy pass records are probably going to end up in your divorce someday. I mean, assuming everybody has a divorce, would you? I'm not married, so I can't. Well, you can't really get divorced if you're not married. I guess some people probably have, but call it something different. But I mean, it's not supposed to be that way. And yet, it's also something that if I take the tollway, I'm not about to get out of my car with a sandwich sign in the middle of this 4-lane highway and walk up and down and risk my life and say, this is BS. These guys got to stop doing this. There's no pushback. And because the world is like flying by people so fast, there's no pushback on any of this stuff. How can there be? Jay Britzker, I mean, there's no pushback on why are you still using a 30-day crisis thing, you know, power the governor has when the thing started in February and it's now November and getting away with it. But I mean, there's
Scott,
so much. There's
Scott
so,
Adams.
But crap, there's so much crap happening. And I don't see how there's pushback. I mean, you can watch, well, if
let,
the
me, let me throw something out to you. Scott Adams believes that we are in the midst of, and have been for some time, one of the most sophisticated national brainwashing efforts that you can imagine. And it's an effort on the part of most of the mainstream press. And one and a half of the major political parties, as well as Hollywood and a number of other cultural sort of determinants. Was driven initially by dislike of President Trump and the frustration at not having Hillary Clinton elected. But with the rise of the Wuhan flu or COVID, it's now been directed toward this. And if you listen to him, I mean, I don't think of him as particularly a conspiracy guy, but he makes a good case, and that is, you know, this, you're seeing a suppression effort of dissent, and you know, this is another topic I wanted to talk about this morning if we had time, but you know, the calling out and damage of people who don't adopt the narrative, and the narrative is, we've got to shut everything down and damage the economy further.
Lou,
the fear of this virus.
And
oh, by the way, we're not making any public accounts of what the lockdown effort is costing us in terms of drug addiction, teen suicide, elderly dying from loneliness,
yep,
and people deferring medical treatments.
See, Lou, the issue that I have with the conservative members of the group on the show, and of course, I was fighting with Frank yesterday, so I have problems with the liberal guys too. The issue I have is that you continue to subscribe, probably because we all read 1984. You continue to subscribe this to a, I'll use a Jane Byrne term, a cabal of evil men.
No, I don't actually.
Well, maybe by saying a lot do that come out. And
I ascribe this to something much more insidious and much more pervasive.
Okay, but I'm not even going to go there, because the basis is, if you walked in, if the Dunkin' Donuts was open at 5:30 like it used to be, and you walk in there and you see everybody paying with, you know, just tapping the machine, and I would, you know, if you were to say, I'll buy coffee for everybody for a second, if you listen to me for a minute, I want everybody to write down why they think that's okay to give that information to somebody else. Every single person will say, I don't care. It's more convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one, but I mean, so for somebody, the difference between Orwell's book and what's happening now, in immortal words of Bill Murphy, my very good attorney friend, Tom, if you told everybody they had to get a chip between their shoulder blades like a dog so we could track him, nobody would ever do it. Yet they've done it to themselves. There's a big difference.
Oh, Chief, these apps, if you go on the Google Play Store or Apple Store, you can look at these apps, COVID apps, and they're done for individual states. Individual states have contracted for the development of these things. You can see how many people download them. 100,000 downloads in, well, in Colorado alone. God knows what they are in places like Pennsylvania, where you've got a significant percentage of the population that, as you said, sees no problem in allowing this information out. That was the point that I made.
But it's the same. I mean, Lou, I do the show for one of reasons. It's the exact same reason that yesterday I was railing about the $7 trillion balance sheet and where's this all going to end. Yet if I wanted to bar a restaurant, if I could find one coffee shop and say, you know, one of these days, when every time the market's down and the Fed starts buying stuff or throwing money out there and the market comes flying back up, especially if it's about a bunch of 1%ers, that's their whole wealth is the market, they're going to say, what's the matter with you? That's what they're supposed to do, is to maintain my wealth, no matter what the cost. So we're not going to get anywhere with this argument. I mean, among the people, the listeners, in any kind of logic, yeah, but we're not going to stop somebody bumping their machine up for coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts this afternoon.
No, and what one of the things, though, is that you and I, because of our advanced age, have a different perspective on how this information gets used, because we lived through J. Edgar Hoover and the Frank Church Commission.
Yep.
And the misuse of personal data by the federal government and by state governments. We've seen the examples of how this stuff gets misused. And until you're sensitized to that and have experience with that, I think a lot of people just say, "Yeah, fine. The information's out there. I don't do anything wrong." Generally, what could go wrong? And so you and I can tell them, you don't get it. This information, your public health status, your quote unquote public health status, will be used to affect all kinds of things. What happens when this information gets to people who make loans?
But you're not gonna get anybody who's 35 years old and healthy and has been a doctor in 15 years to pay any attention to you. What medical stuff? I don't have any. I'm healthy as a horse. As a Chevy commercial said, my steps were quick and light like a rock. What do I care? I'm never going to a doctor. What's the matter with you, you old fart?
Well, wait till your COVID status starts affecting your ability to get a bank loan or a credit card.
I understand that.
Wait till your health records are now accessible.
The difference, though, Lou, is
somebody who doesn't really like you very much and wants to do you harm.
The difference is, Lou, you and I feel we have a responsibility to tell the people that say the Fed, the more trillions of dollars they get in the hole when they run into trouble, the less likely they're going to be able to get out of it without some massive displacement of everything we've ever known. If it gets to 20, what if it gets to $20 trillion and all of a sudden inflation is so high that rates go to 12% and the government's literally entire budget is paying interest? I mean, what is that even going to look like? It's going to make 1978 look like a kid's game. But nobody wants to hear that, Will, even though that's obviously the direction we're headed.
In fact, one of the things that I would ding the Trump administration for is its total lack of financial discipline or fiscal, intelligent fiscal policy. Now, admittedly, he was just continuing the trends that were already there, but ideally, I would hope that somebody with a business background like that would look around and say, we can't continue to operate like this, and for the good of the country, we have to close some of this down.
Lou, we put more money into the system in the last 6 months, we did the entire 9 years of Bernanke and Mellon.
I know. We are reaching that classic. I can't remember who said it. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said that a government that robs Peter to pay Paul can always count on the support of Paul.
Yeah, well, without a doubt.
Isn't that a great line?
It is good.
I love that. And so let me address you know, a couple of other points. This propensity to collect information can have a very serious effect, and we're starting to see this with certain elements of the progressive movement, and many of them government types or people who want to be government types. And this goes back to something I had told a friend here when we were talking about who we were going to vote for. And he was a Biden supporter, and I was leaning toward Trump, and he said, why? And I said, I don't like the man. I have problems with him in terms of character, although it now turns out Biden's character is probably worse. But I said, I'm concerned about the things that I think a President Biden would enable. And one of them was something that again, Scott Adams had predicted 6 months ago, which is retaliation against people who had worked for Trump or who had supported Trump or who had given, you know, public support for the president or his programs. And unbelievably, that is starting. You're seeing people calling, and I don't mean just, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts walking down the street. These are journalists. These are people who are looking for positions within the Biden administration, but who are in some cases Congress people, who are calling for the identification of and doxing and penalizing people who were in the Trump administration as being, you know, anti-democracy, that we should attack their employers, we should attack their job applications, we should make sure that they can't work again. This is truly frightening,
people don't know what to do.
Again, it's another misuse of this, you know, pervasive status of information and lack of privacy that now you know is a hallmark of this culture.
This is these are people that this is their idea of democracy, which is really totalitarianism. It's mob rule. It has nothing to do with democracy. Democracy is the loyal opposition and all those kinds of things. These people, they don't have any knowledge of that or care for that. It's like the people don't want, if they see, even if it's a horrible video or you see whatever the infraction might be, either business wise or worse, shooting somebody or doing something to them, that doesn't think you need any courts and nobody deserves due process anymore. I saw it. He's guilty. Hang him.
He holds this position. It's a very totalitarian mindset, which is you don't have to. It's not just that you have to, or you have to be neutral on the issue. You have to agree with me. It plays out in this anti-racism narrative that is saying you can't not be just a neutral, you know, colorblind person. You have to be actively, quote, anti-racist, or you're a racist. And this kind of mentality now is carrying over into our political culture, which says, you know, if you disagree with me, you are an evil person. Who is not entitled to employment or financial security or anything else. You're just an evil person. It's a truly frightening development, but it is one that is starting to, I see it popping up on Twitter. I see some outfit called the Lincoln Project, which is a group of allegedly disgruntled Republicans who have made their lists of names that they want to put out to everybody, saying, you know, if you hire these people, the mob is going to come after you. I mean, this is, you know, this is Nazism. This is totalitarianism.
Oh, sure is.
And I'm astounded that it's surfacing. But in fact, it is absolutely there.
But it's on both sides, though. I mean, I've talked to, you know, people that are, I'm going to say, very conservative, but nowhere near as bright as the conservatives on this show. And they'll say something like, well, that person's just, he's a socialist, or she's a socialist, and blah, 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 and I don't want to be a communist or a socialist. I said, well, are we talking economic systems or political systems? Well, economic systems, okay. Now,
but are they screaming for going after this person's employers?
Well, they don't want him in office. They don't want him anywhere near. But instead of saying
not having him in elected office is a lot different than saying, for example.
Well, I agree.
I think. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you. It's gotten to the point now where you're gonna ferret out any kind of document, any kind of book, any kind of paper that disagrees with you. And by the way, if the person continues to write, you want the publisher to fire the guy.
That's right. Well, and let me you want the publisher, you want them not to be able to get published. Let me give you an even more bizarre, from my perspective, example. So law firms that are representing, you know, the Trump claims in federal and state court are now being attacked because they had the temerity to take money and do this work. There's very little. I mean, we've already seen this with that Harvard black Harvard professor who was ripped by his students and forced to step down at Harvard because he signed on to the Harvey Weinstein defense team. I mean, the idea that we are now going to drive attorneys and drive law firms from the representation of socially unpopular causes is terrifying to me. I mean, this was attempted briefly.
Well, you and I grew up
when the Guantanamo cases were going.
You and I grew up at a time.
It was promptly shut down, rightly so.
You and I grew up at a time. I don't know who taught us this. We probably don't even know who the hell did. Maybe it was everybody, the schools, the parents. We were brought up at a time where it said, no matter who you are, I mean, Al Capone gets a defense.
Absolutely.
And we don't care who he is.
It's in the Sixth Amendment.
I mean,
Gideon v. Wainwright case. I mean, it's a classic of Supreme Court law.
But I mean, now people do not feel that now. Young people do not, I'm clear, I shouldn't do that. What do you mean? The guy's guilty. Why are you defending him? What's the matter with you?
This is totalitarianism.
Yes.
This is why the Constitution was enacted. It was put in place to protect people who weren't in the majority and who were subject to mob rule.
Right. And we're going right back to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know.
There's lots, you'll see lots of people in academia saying we need to rethink our Constitution because it really doesn't work very well because it allows people to say mean things.
Yeah, well. S&P futures down 21, NASDAQ futures up 11. Lou, thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Hope you have some good weather. Hope you get some rain out there. You sound dry, you know. You're dry. Just saying.
Yeah, definitely here.
All right, bud.
We need it.
We'll be right back, Mr. Dan Janitas.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures down 19 now, so it's the lowest we've seen. NASDAQ futures still up 17, though, as we get this back-and-forth daily rotation. We got the Dow futures down 249. Individual stocks in Dow, we got Boeing, which has been a horse the last few days. It's up like $50. It's down $5 this morning. Goldman Sachs down 250. That's, of course, been up as well. Honeywell down 237. So we've got some that are down here. J.P. Morgan. Dan, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How about you?
We're doing fine. The last week or so, it's been a wild ride. It was an interesting horse to ride, but as you know, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy guy. I'm just sort of wondering on this, I don't know, this vaccine stuff, the timing of it. Now the guy from Pfizer cashed out a whole bunch of stock.
Yes.
Didn't the guy from Kodak do that, and the stock went flying right back down? I don't think that's going to happen to Pfizer. But
hopefully not.
But what the hell? I mean, the game never changes. Are these guys just amoral or what? I mean, it's a different world.
They're transparent, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's something
very transparent. But yeah, and I hear you. We're definitely on the same page on this. Where, you know, we anticipated this volatility to continue post election, and it has. And you know, we thought the market would have a strong tone to it as sort of, you know, hey, this is all over with. But and then I think that the tone got disrupted again by, you know, the reality of the vaccine, and it's really a question of the timing. You know, we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but how long is this going to take, and what's going to happen between now and then to get there? So I think that's still a little, there's still a little more room on the downside in the market because that hasn't been fully appreciated yet. There's good news and everyone's running to buy, but there's also going to be this period we go through, and at least the CDC, the medical professionals are saying that, you know, things could get worse before they get better. So I don't know what that means for shutdowns. It's been an interesting trade-off to try to watch that. And then also, as you've seen, to watch the rotation out of the, what they refer to as the stay-at-home names, and into some of the more, you know, materials and industrials and names that are trading, that are going to be doing better at some point in time. So the question seems, you know, is this the time to jump into those names like cruise lines and some names that have really been out of favor, on sell-offs, and then just wait till they ride up? Or what we're doing, which is watching names that we have been in or names that we have been watching over time that have sold off. And one name in particular that we had spoken about it a while back, 1-800-Flowers, which is one of those online businesses where you can purchase not only flowers but candy, fruit, predominantly gifts. Their busiest season is coming up, the holiday time. And this company, FLWS, very well managed and did a very good job during the whole initial phase back in March of the sell-off. This company and I had met them, I'd seen them face-to-face first of the year. I've actually seen them three times this year. But they didn't skip a beat. Their stock price did very well during the period where everything else was selling off, and for good reason. But they also have some brand recognition. Harry and David is a name that people are more likely to buy through their site. Sherry's Berries, people are more likely to buy through their site. So even though they had this massive sell-off recently, they went from 32 down to 19. We think it's a buy here at 20. So there's earnings came out recently. They weren't exciting, but they weren't bad, and their growth and their cash flow is looking very promising. They don't expect to see any slowdown in the fourth quarter, In fact, we're expecting to see better than expected numbers. So here's a name that we've been on top of, no management very well, have seen a significant sell-off on the, you know, maybe much more than we should have seen, going, you know, like I said, from 32 down to 19. So we like it at 20, and it's a good, you know, I think it's a good name that's playing this rotation, this out of the stay-at-home names. But I think some names that may have been not been stay-at-home names are going to become stay-at-home names, probably for the foreseeable future, even once we get a vaccine and people are back to work.
Well,
that's a name that I think is, you know, those types of names are good ones to watch here. The other extreme, as I mentioned earlier, and, you know, talking about getting in, do you really want to get in now with, say, you know, the airlines have been all over the place, and, you know, you're hearing talks about United doubling their flights around Thanksgiving time, but then you're also hearing talks about more shutdowns, and so it's a little hard to get your arms around that. I know there's still a lot of fallout. Even Southwest is talking about cutting pilots' salaries, and I went through that with ALPA, so I understand what that's something that can take place over a period of time. So I don't think all of a sudden we're going to be back to 100% capacity with cruise ships or airlines. And I think the timing of it's going to be not only when a vaccine has been implemented, but when people feel comfortable. And although a lot of people like myself are chomping at the bit to travel, I think most people are really wanting to be sure that it's going to be safe and sure that the numbers have come down. So that's one idea that we're seeing. And another one that I mentioned just 2 weeks ago, Thunderbird, which is really one of my top calls, I think, for the year. They're an entertainment business based in Vancouver, but they have purchased a large L.A.-based media company, Great Pacific, and they do both animation as well as what they refer to as factual. So they write, you know, they write film, really top-notch management team, state-of-the-art, very well-run company. They didn't seem to get hit by much of the COVID, partly because they were in the right industry. More people were staying at home. But their plan, which is something I mentioned a few weeks ago, was to take the stock, which is trading on the in Canadian and the Toronto Stock Exchange, but to bump it up from the OTC Pink Sheet to the OTC QX. And that just happened Monday, and the stock price went from about $1.50 to $1.85.
So they're on the NASDAQ.
It's a penny stock, but it's got a lot of legs, and I think this is an industry that is somewhat immune from any of this, you know, stay at home sectoral rotation. You know, there's going to be demand for it going forward, regardless. And they're one, besides having a great management team and besides being free cash flow positive and besides having attracted the best talent in the industry, they also have a good long-term perspective. They're not looking for whatever's hot today. They're really looking to, you know, they're sort of thematic, and they want to be the ones that are out in front of content, changes in content going forward. So we may be seeing less and less of sort of the reality TV mode and more of, you know, good old-fashioned comedies and good, you know, good well-written scripts for whether it be comedy or drama or action or even animation.
And what the quick question, the 800 Flowers guys, wasn't that one of the biggest purchases of a .com name or an 800 name, 800 number name back in 2099 and stuff? I think it was, wasn't it?
As a name, right? Like as a
yeah,
have that right in the name, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, it obviously tells what the business is, and it's you know, it's a business that's well run. You know,
well, they were going for big dough back then. Remember, if you just had that, I mean, I'll keep this 30-second brief. Dr. J and I actually, we didn't consult because we weren't in the business, but talked to some people who were in the I won't say the name, but they were a big liquor distributor group in Chicago, liquor store group in Chicago. And the kid went out and bought liquor.com.
Ah.
And he was, this is 1997 maybe, he was convinced that they were just going to retire bazillionaires with just that name. And we're like, and they had one of the original, if you wanted to order a basket of, you know, champagne and cheese and whatever and wine and send it to a client in California, they had that all set up beforehand. They had that whole mechanism in place way before the dot-coms. They just had a paper catalog. So the kid bought liquor.com, and John and I said to him, well, we think you should just manage the business as for a year and use that, take it to the next level, hire a couple of people. We can probably find you someplace to give you a loan and just do it on your own. Well, he wanted no part of that. He got these consulting people that he gave them 55% of the company just to take them to the next level, and they were out of business in a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, the mother was terrific. She's the one who owned the business, and she let this stupid kid take him basically down to rat hole. John and I went to two meetings, and we just said, John, I looked at him, he looked at me, and he go, we might know part of this. So we just said, we think you guys, you're going a different direction. We just don't, this isn't us. And we got out of it. And then, anyway, Dan, I think we have a Twitter question. We'll take that.
Yeah, we have a Twitter question here, and you can always write us on Twitter at Stocks, the letter N, Jocks. This is from David. He says, Dan, I took a position in Thunderbird last week, asking what your target prices are on Thunderbird. I assume that's Thunderbird Entertainment Group.
T-A-D-R-F. Right, and it's the company I was just talking about, and he's asking what the target price is. So the stock that trades in Toronto obviously is in Canadian dollars, and it's trading now at about 240. The over-the-counter stock that trades here in the States, ticker symbol THBRF, was trading at about $1.50 a couple weeks ago, traded at $1.85. I think this is going to be a double over the next few weeks. A lot of momentum. They're coming into their season. This is a stock that has the ability to double. I don't want to time it and necessarily say the next few weeks, but I'll definitely say, by the first of the year, we're going to see, continued good news here. So, so load up on this name. There's good things to come.
Dan, are they still the application is in to be on a NASDAQ?
They are, yeah. So we're going to see more and more liquidity in the name as time goes on. They continue to speak at conferences. I get them every other week or so that I speak to them, so we're in pretty close contact. They're very forthright with information, with their investors. And one thing where I think they're a little ahead of the game is that they've already kind of gone through all this diversity, stuff that had sort of come to fruition over the last 6 months and seemed to be, something you heard every day and every company. It was almost like they were going through the whole list of every company and whether they were had good diversification, understood the importance of employee diversification and all that. And here's a company that just out of the box, that's just the way they're built. So they're young, but they're smart. They're super smart, and they're on the money side. They manage it really well. They're anytime you're talking to a company that looks at free cash flow and makes that a priority, that's a good, solid company. That's a good long-term play.
Ben, I have a couple of clients that have stocks. Of course, we'll go nameless. Those stocks are looking and have application out to be on the NASDAQ, and they're sputtering along too. Is the NASDAQ people all working from home, or what the hell's going on? He's like, why is this taking so long for all these places?
It's they're busy because this is the trend now, and there's a lot of opportunity for growth. So. I'm sure that some of the actual application and production, everything has been slowed down a little. We're going through a tender offer with one of our bonds right now, and it's been slowed down for the same reason.
What does 1% interest, which is right around the corner in a 10-year, what does that do for you?
Not a whole lot. We have continued to, in terms of looking for some names that are an alternatives to certainly to treasuries or even to some individual high grade bonds. There's a couple that we own in the model portfolio that I manage for Interactive Brokers. It's the Kratos Capital High Income Fund, which, by the way, has just had its 5-year anniversary, and it's like we were 10% ahead of our benchmark, so we're pretty pleased with that. But a couple of the names that are in there, and we're looking for ways now of diversifying to get income. We had talked about a couple of, we talked about self-storage, but we have ACRE, which is a commercial real estate REIT. VNQ is Vanguard's. I think that's a good barometer. Having some exposure in real estate, I think, is very positive right now, because even though there's still some uncertainty, with industries, certainly like airlines and cruise ships, the thing about real estate is what's happening now are alternative uses to, say, commercial or industrial, and that's been the trend, and so I think that's going to continue positive. I don't think 1% is going to really impact mortgage rates that much just now. Also, there's another one that I hadn't mentioned that's, I think, a good idea if you're looking for an ETF that's going to give you some diversification and some yield. It's SHYD, which is a short-term, high-yield municipal ETF. So there are some tax benefits to it, but it is... but you don't get the full tax benefits that you would if you owned the income, just had the bond. It would just be the interest income is what you're going to have that's going to have the tax benefit. But this is an area that is also coming back and in favor, as we're going to see some shifting around in some of the municipalities and in probably some, over the next, 6 months to a year, we're going to probably see more money heading in the way of local and state and local municipalities.
I'm starting to see, as usual, nothing. Whatever the side guy said, no man can do one thing, right? Let's assume for a second that we have that Pfizer's not BSing us, and they have something that actually works. Let's say 60% of the time for people, to where it's going to make people, at least those that are older and whatever, who take this. I hesitate to use the word vaccine. I don't know if it's a vaccine or if it's a flu shot, whatever it is, if it's going to help people for a couple of years, that's the good news, right? Yet, you just mentioned cruise ships, you just mentioned airlines. And my background, I don't know if it's that much different than yours, is clearly in accounting, cost accounting, and finance. I don't see how in God's name, I mean, even though they have getting more money than God from government, how Boeing doesn't deliver a plane for another 6 months and stays in business. How these cruise ships, how they somehow, unless they just tell everybody they're not paying any lease ever, how the hell those guys are around 6 months from now without customer one? I hope I'm wrong. But I don't see how anybody has that kind of money. I honestly don't. But I see now this morning the headlines are already up there. Well, because the vaccine is 6 months away, 12 months away, we should lock everybody down for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't see that. To me, is worse than not having a vaccine. I mean, in terms of not saying that it won't save somebody's grandma or grandpa, which is worth saving, but for the economy, that to me is. I think so many places right now are hanging by a thread. I've gone to two or three places just to stop in and say hello to people in the last couple of weeks here. They're down to like two or three tables in a restaurant. I mean, come on. We do 2-3 months of that. Look, just close the doors. Just tell the guy you're never paying him the rent again and be done with it. You can't have, we're at the point now where you're hanging by the one finger in most of these places.
Right.
And I don't, and it's any, and the idea that we have, I don't know, I'll be on my political soapbox for a second. The idea that we have people making these decisions that have never been in a business in their life and always drawn a government paycheck is abhorrent to me. Just abhorrent to me. The fact that we have a, well, this, just, I don't know if you know, but the, in Illinois, you can't go visit anybody in a nursing home. You have to, yeah, but the governor's family owns nursing homes. Yeah, I don't want him making that call. He should recuse himself from that. I mean,
I agree. I think when the, you know, when the, I think I may have mentioned this when I was back in Massachusetts a few months ago, that it was, you know, on the hotel door or on the restaurant door, you know, Governor Baker says, you know, it's, he mandates that you wear a mask. You know, rather than saying, you know, the pub, you know, requires you to wear a mask, or the grocery store, or the gym, you know, and I think that it sends a very different message. It's very concerning, and it's also very concerning as to what's going to have to happen to get to a point, you know, is it, you know, where we're not going to see this sell-off, and we're not going to see, you know, or we're going to see some more bailout for some of these small businesses. I mean, the kind of businesses you're talking about, and I totally agree with you, the kind of businesses that I think have been overlooked, although we see it on the news from time to time. We see restaurants going out of business. We see it on the, you know, just driving by the shopping centers. You're right. How long, what kind of a window do these people have so that they can make it? And what's going to be the financing that's going to get them over? When you start going to the, at that level, I'm very concerned. And I think it's going to have a bigger impact on us. That's why I'm not so overly optimistic about the market. When we're going to the next level of sort of small and mid-sized companies that have gotten some financing, that are currently going through some restructurings, that are actually going through these restructurings pretty rapidly. And there's an energy company that we follow that is, it's going to be like a three-month workout, and they're going to come out practically debt-free and in really good shape. So the people who are the experts, you know, that are in these companies that are, you know, a little bit larger, I think are going to get a number of, you know, the good assets and the good, the well-run companies through this process. It's the smaller firms that have always struggled with capital and access to capital, I think, that are going to continue to be an issue. And unless there is something, some additional stimulus, this is going to be a tough period.
Well, Dan, you, matter of fact, I congratulate you, because on the show you have educated and caused me to, I guess, chime in. I won't say, because you did most of it. The different levels of risk when you put in common stock, preferred stock. I mean, you've given much better definitions in preferred stock and investments there than anybody ever has on the show. So, I mean, again, I thank you for that. But my question to you, and this is legit, I mean, you and I think agree that there's going to be, I'll drop back here for 30 seconds, when this all started, they shut the bars and restaurants down in March. The last night, it was the night before St. Patrick's Day, I went to my local hangout where all these people, my friends, and I said, I know there's going to be a Tripoli tap. Someday, there's going to be people drinking a beer in this place and having a burger. I just want it to be you people. I don't want it to go to somebody else at 30 cents on the buck. Now, having said that, you and I think, both agree that someday, somewhere, there's going to be a vibrant cruise industry again. Now, the question is it going to be the current stockholders of Carnival Cruise Line, and I'm just picking them out, I don't know anything about the place, or if it's six more months, is it going to be some bankruptcy proceeding where those shares of stock are now worthless and the bondholders get it, or do they not even get it? Now, you might say the bondholders are okay and they're going to be fine, and you know more about that than me, and if you said it, I would believe it. But now the bondholder is going to be fine, and maybe they end up with some of the stock because they take 60 cents on the buck on the bonds, and now they get the stock, and 5 years from now the stock's trading $1,000. I mean, I don't know. There's all kinds of crap once you get into this thing. But, I mean, you can say General Motors is fine, but if your dad or my dad had the original General Motors stock, he's not fine.
Right.
So, I mean, yes.
A lot of it is timing. I mean, it's the same thing I try to explain to some clients who are having a hard time understanding a particular industry or a particular name that's sold off. And I use real estate as the example, that it's really your entry point and your exit point. You know, everything else in between is unrealized. So if you have a taxable account, then you're going to be concerned about when you sell. And if you don't, and you have to look at your time horizon, and so that's really what it comes down to, the point that you get in. I think it's a little early on names like airlines. And what I will say is, though, from the workouts that I've seen, because we have been in the energy sector, and what I'm seeing is very rapid progress in that direction. And part of that is because we don't have the situation we had with the banks in the last major, you know, in the 08 period, 07, 08. We don't have that same struggle that we had. We have a lot more liquidity. I do believe people learn. And I believe, going back to the late 80s, with that, everything was highly leveraged, and it was I'm sure you remember those days, it was, everything was extreme. Everything was, over the top. Whether it be your dining experience or your travel experience, everything in the industry, every conference, everything was over the top. And then it all kind of blew up with the SNLs and with people not realizing that you could be over leveraged. And I think after that, CEOs and companies started focusing more on their balance sheets. And although we still went through periods over time, I think we're learning and have learned how to manage balance sheets in this changing environment.
My concern
is going to be what's going to happen with, say, some of the tech companies that haven't really, that whose earnings look very different, whose, cash flow may not even be there yet, and, you're looking for the future. So, but I will say the thing I will say overall is stay diversified. Keep diversification. If you are going to go into a few names that you think you're early, like a Carnival Cruise Line or a Royal Caribbean, just take a small position now. Don't jump into it all at once, because there's going to be plenty of time down the road.
I think
the assets that'll be sold, and there will be original investors that do okay, and then there'll be other investors who step in, and there'll be hedge funds and private equity managers that'll end up having capital for that as well.
Dan, I think you do a terrific job at finding the firms that are like that. I think also some of the other places that you guys probably stay away from, and rightfully so. I mean, what about, we have to go here in a second, but what about a United Airlines that over a decade, the entire amount of money that they made, instead of increasing their balance sheet, bought stock back?
Yeah, I actually worked for ALPA. For Airline Pilots Association. I was their investment director, and I love those guys. They were great to work with. But I would not put any money in that sector. Of the companies, I liked Alaska the best. And I owned some of their bonds at one point and did quite well. It's a tough industry. It's a very tough industry. There's a lot of variables.
I have a hunch that if you and I were on the board, we got a dash. If you and I were on the board for 5 years, we would probably get together over an adult beverage and say, next board meeting, we're going to say one of these planes this year, we might actually show up with a check and buy the damn thing.
Yeah,
imagine what that would go over like the proverbial fart in church at that board meeting, wouldn't it? Anyway, bud, take care of yourself. Thank you, and thank you for the good good picks, because they've been going out pretty good. And our people love them. SP Futures down 16, NASDAQ Futures up 17. As the weekly jobs claim 709 versus 740, so I guess that's good. We'll be right back, Mr. Frank Fahey.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Ali. Just Brent Weber on the board. SP futures not only down 11, NASDAQ futures up 45. Dow futures only down 200. We have bounced some as these jobless claims were 704 instead of 750, Matty. The continuing claims are 6.7 versus 7.2 million. Now, you drop off kind of automatically after 6 months. So that number, I don't know how good that number is unless you really dig into the detail like we do with Carl, but it's, I guess lower is better than higher no matter what. So over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 192. That's 1.5% now. That's lower than it was a while ago. FTSE down 60.9%. The CAC around down 90. That's a full 1.7%. So they're kind of getting hammered over there a little bit. Nikkei, however, up 171. That's 0.7%. Shanghai down 3. That's flat. Hang Seng down 57. 0.2%. Again, yesterday we had a mixed bag. Dow down 23. S&P up 27. And NASDAQ up 232, which is 2%. And NASDAQ had been down a couple days before. They got clobbered after the vaccine announcement. And now they're bouncing back up. Bonds down a full 6 basis points now to 0.92. The Bund minus 0.51 in Japan, positive 0.02. Oil unchanged now at 41.45. Brent down 7 cents. 43.73. Natural gas down a penny to 3.01. Still over $3 though. And RBOB 116. We've got gold up 750 to 1869, but still kind of wasting 1900, which is kind of our, we seem to be $50 plus or minus 1900 now for quite a while. Silver down a penny, 24.25. Again, violent within a range of silver. Copper up a penny to 3.14. I guess you actually said the market's violent within a range. It hasn't really broken out to the up or downside. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports, Manny?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Some issues are starting to pile up here. No pun intended. We have a crash down on I-57 southbound just before Valmer Road. That's exit 342. And that's causing some congestion on the outbound side of I-57. Just northeast of there, Halstead at 163rd Street, there is a crash. And then it looks like just across the or right near the Indiana border, S Avenue O at 118th Street, There apparently is a fire. A smoke from an earlier warehouse fire is active. Firefighters are back on the scene to clear it. So firefighters apparently left the scene, thought the fire was out, and then it resurfaced. And that's causing some issues at 118th Street down on the southeast side.
Do you even know where the avenues are?
I mean, I know where they are, but I've never really been to them.
Yes, you know, you don't want to go into the avenues. Go ahead, finish up, and I'll give you our story, my story of the avenues.
Yes, no problem. Northside expressways are looking good. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Lakeshore Drive's been quiet all morning. Out west, Route 83 at 16th Street, there is an accident. And then west of there in Wheaton, Schmalley Road at Gunderson Drive, there is a crash. But everything else is good out there. Weather today, a bit warmer than yesterday. Sunshine with a high of 54, so that'll be nice. Right now it is clear and 39 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 74. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, college football last night, Northern Illinois was blown out by Central Michigan 40-10. NFL is back in action tonight, Thursday Night Football on Fox. It'll be the Colts at the Titans. That's a 7:20 Chicago time kickoff. And lastly, the Masters got started this morning. It looks like a few groups got out there, and then it was suspended by rain. So they're temporarily suspended, waiting for the weather to clear. Looks like Charles Howell III and Lucas Glover are tied atop the leaderboard at even with a couple of other guys as well. But very early in the Masters, of course, Masters Week in November this year. Chief.
We had a... this is how bizarre. Frank, how are you?
Excellent. I was waiting for your treatise on the avenues.
We used to, at St. John Fisher, which of course was in the Lily White Southwest side, and it was Southwest, the South side was, it was either a black neighborhood or a white neighborhood, right? And, there weren't very many Hispanics at that time and anywhere really. But it was either black or white, and there was a defined line. I mean, and black people lived on one side of Ashland, and the white people lived on the other side. And it was, you know, it was a bizarre world. It was not a good situation. And well, one of the big forest preserve things by us was Dan Ryan Woods, which is 87th, roughly in Western. It's a beautiful place, and I think they actually had a toboggan slide there, and I think it either is. If it isn't, it's within a couple of feet of the highest point in the city of Chicago. So from the top of the toboggan slide, you could see downtown, great view, see the lake. It was unreal. Well, traditionally, that park was all black people. And, they went out and got the permits. They were all kind of, it was a great picnic down. The place was spotless. They had, the roofs with in case it rained, the whole bit. And it was...
the gazebo.
There was never anything... well, there was no sides to them. It was just the roof. It was like the thing on the golf courses you get for driving the cart under for pavilions, or whatever they used to call them.
Pavilion, yeah.
And so
picnic shelter is another term.
But I mean, every Sunday there were all kinds of African Americans with their permits, having cookouts. Essentially, never an issue. Okay, but there was never a white person in the place. So we were 2 miles from that at St. John Fisher, but our parish picnic was always at Eggers Grove, which is 112th, and I think Avenue O. Way the bleep. I mean, we're talking about as far as you can...
That's Eggwish, isn't it?
It's somewhere. I mean, you had to go down 103rd Street to Torrance, where it ended. You had to make a right turn to 106th. You drove by how many steel factories or whatever back in those days? All went over like...
drove by the Ford plant.
Yeah, you went over like 100 railroad tracks. And finally, you'd reach Avenue O, and you'd turn right, and there was this picnic grove, which was nowhere near as nice as Ryan's Woods. You know, so as to why we couldn't just got a permit in Ryan's Woods and sat down between two African-American groups, I have no idea. There would never have been any trouble. If anything, they were way better behaved than we were. So there we were. That's how I learned about Avenue O. And the thing about if you were a kid, the nice part is if you walk through the woods, there was this massive aggregate company with these huge hills of stone and stuff. So you could climb these stone hills all afternoon. So if you're 10 years old, it was the greatest thing ever, climbing stone hills. Of course, the parents didn't even know they were there, and that's where you were. Where were you? We just went over and saw somebody else's picnic. Okay. Because they're all drinking. They didn't care. But, I mean, the fact that we went all the way over there just to avoid the beautiful park near us, just because they had well-behaved African-American people. I have no, I mean, but Frank, by right, is that the way it was or what? I mean, how stupid was that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, South Bend, where I grew up, was that way. You know, my parents went and looked at a house for a black doctor, and they came along with, my father's driver and our cook to look at a house. And then they bought a house that we couldn't afford.
Well, you obviously were paying your cook more than middle age or middle wage.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I know the avenues from Hegwisch. I used to go to Hegwisch Records back in the day because it was the best probably in the Midwest.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They were
and then Steve's Lounge, I still go to. That's the first place I'm going to when they really open up for fried food. You and Audrey should come along. We'll make sure that you guys come.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think I think
sounds damn good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
fried fish and a beer.
Oh, fried fish and you know the shrimps, as we say in Chicago, shrimps, not shrimp, yeah, are the best around.
Oh man, I love fried shrimp. It's like my favorite thing.
And then there's Club 81 too, which is also awesome. That's on Wolf Lake.
Wolf Lake is a? Can you eat anything of fish out of there or not?
Okay, I wouldn't.
Anyway, if anybody ever drove down the tollway from Chicago to Indiana, the tollway becomes the Indiana toll. Well, the Skyway becomes the Indiana toll road. You go through the middle of this lake. It's Wolf Lake, and there's four lakes on it. There's Lake Calumet, Wolf Lake. They're all part of this. I don't know what there's a name for it, but they were all left by the glacier or something. Anyway, so Frank, we have the market reacting, and now I'm starting to read stuff on the you know that the vaccines might have exactly the opposite effect on businesses than you think. And some people are now pushing for, you know, total lockdowns for 4 to 6 months until the vaccine's available. How many companies do you think can handle that, Frank? Just the 50 or 100 big ones that we all trade every day or what?
Well, that's what they want. They're the ones that run things.
Yep.
So, yeah. And, you know, you're talking about the ranges we're in. I think we were taught, you know, for those of us who believe in technical things, it's called compression. And when stocks get compressed, even in a range like we're in right now on the S&P, it can get ugly to the upside or downside. It can just explode. We saw a minor example last week.
Yeah.
With the SPOOs were up 150. And my fear is that to the upside, people sort of dribble in, okay? Or they may move quickly. When it's to the downside, explosion out of compression, everybody jumps on board. We saw that in 87.
Well, I think I've actually talked to, some clients. Some of them are not young anymore. And one of my older lady clients said to me, every time the market goes down, it just comes right back up. Why are you worried? And you know what? How many years has she been right? Like a long time. And yeah, but how do you?
Five.
Yeah, but how do you? How do you? When the Fed, this group, I listened to the lady from the female board governor from San Francisco. So she's not just some schlumpette. But to hear her talk, what's the difference if we have to throw another $300-400 billion at this? We just do it. Those are tools in our arsenal. There's not a hint of well, we used to have a guy over at the health club. He used to run the pool, right? He's a good guy. And he went to, to pool training. It's a week-long class. So he wasn't like he was an idiot or anything. But whatever happened, he would shock the pool with like a gallon of this concentrated chlorine. No matter what the problem was with the pool, if it was, you can't be too clear, but if it was a little cloudy at all, he'd check it. If it was something else, he'd check it. At some point, you're going to be, everything in there is going to be pure chlorine. I mean, there's a limit to everything, right, Frank? I mean,
I never found the limit to chlorine in a pool in my decades of swimming.
Well, with the guys that are doing it, there's never a limit in their regard. I mean,
there really isn't.
No.
I mean, there's a reason my eyelashes are white.
But I'm saying the Fed has now got the same thing. We're into this. What did Jean-Luc Picard say? In for a penny, in for a pound. I mean, we're at that level pretty much everywhere. Congress, we're at it at the Fed, and it, you and I, you know, seem to, you know, seem to think that there's a limits to this kind of thing, and every time that there's been a problem before, it's been a disaster. But other people will tell you, and some of them now are Nobel Prize winners, that the reason why it was a disaster before is people got cold feet and just didn't keep going.
Oh, geez. You know, and then that makes you and me Chicken Little.
Yeah, yeah. And, it's, you know, but it's the same thing as the chlorine in the pool or bleeding somebody. Is there some kind of a limit to everything you do? You and I, our upbringing is, yeah, what are you doing at $7 trillion? Can you really go 9? Can you go 11? Can you go 20? Can you go 50? And they'll say, oh, it'll never get to, they'll say it'll never get to 50, but if it does, what's the problem? And right now, we're at that spot. Now, obviously, the market, I mean, clearly, you probably want to be leaning long here, because I don't see anything changing between now and the end of the year. But I also know that $8 trillion is a bit. And if they ever get to the point where the interest rates run up because of inflation, which is what squeezes out when something like this happens, I don't see how these guys pay it. We're talking about a $22 trillion bill. Well, if the rate ever went to 5%, what is that? That's $1 trillion a year in interest, right? $1 trillion, if my math is right this time of the morning?
Yep.
Well, how do we pay that?
You're not going to pay it. And why are we spending, I heard you guys talking before, why are we spending money on Carnival? How many U.S. employees are there outside of at the port?
Because people seem to want to go on cruise.
I'd rather drink a warm glass of somebody's puke than go on at one of those big liners. Jeez.
I would now see.
It'd be healthier, too.
I would do two things.
I think I'd rather go on the liner than drink a glass of puke, to be honest. But
our buddy at the series, who we all know his name, well, he goes on these vacations that are just spectacular, right? He went on one of these cruises from Italy to the Eastern Mediterranean, and where they got off and they had a guide in Istanbul. They were 2 days with the pyramids and the Sphinx and stuff. Now that's my idea of it. I mean, I could do that and see the whole.
And you don't do it with 12,000 other people.
No.
On a 50-story boat, I mean, these things are just obscene.
Well, if you're looking to get a date, maybe you can find one. There's got to be how many thousand people out there for you to go through anyway.
And somebody that even like you or me.
Yeah, there's a chance. If the numbers get big enough. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing an Alaska one. One of the guys in the pit did it, and he said that was spectacular.
I would do it on a smaller boat.
Yeah.
I used to go fishing every summer. I have a roommate that's on an island there for the summer from college. And there's tugboats that do it, converted tugboats that are like a couple hundred feet long, and they have kayaks, and, you know, they trail the Boston Whalers. That's what I'd want to go on.
Well, these guys got off and they were actually on glaciers and the whole bit. The other kind of cruise I'd do the river cruise in Germany, where during the day.
I'd do that in Europe.
Yeah,
but you know, I don't need a food bacchanalia.
So you wouldn't do the river cruise on the Chicago River?
I've kayaked on it, not in the past year, but I kayak on the Chicago River. I've kayaked on the Cal Sag.
I saw some people kayaking the other day on the river, and that sounds like a pretty actually fun activity that you could do during
the pandemic. Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I've never done it, though. I would love to do it sometime.
Maddie, when you walk your boy, Venkman, do you ever run into a lady with this little white dog? He's still alive, the poor little guy. He was a buddy of Scruff's. A little dog named Puck. You know that lady?
I don't know the names of the dogs. Jill definitely probably does.
When she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met. You look at her, she looks like just a regular, I don't say a regular, but, you know, 60-something-year-old lady. She's an incredible kayaker and rower. I mean, she's in the rowing club in Lincoln Park. Every time I see her, she's trying to get me to join and bring everybody in the building with. But they moved from the river to over by the Diversity Harbor. She goes, it just got too gross after every storm, paddling along and paddling what you're paddling through. She goes, it just got too gross. So everybody's over at the rowing, whatever that thing is, over in Lincoln Park that was over the banks for a while.
Oh, the lagoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Fox River's great. The St. Joe River's pretty good, too.
Well, my brother Dan used to be in all these canoe races. Do you ever do canoe races?
No. It's too hard to drink and race.
Well, but yeah, if I'm canoeing, I'm drinking. I'm not racing.
Well, you got to keep getting off because there's these little dams. You got to keep getting off and portaging around. It's a big deal. I mean, you do the 30-mile canoe race. I think he said one of them was on some race, some place in Wisconsin. I think they had 7 portages or something. I did the
Boundary Waters with the Boy Scout troop, and I think we did 79 miles, and there were some portages there, but I made the scouts carry this stuff.
79 miles? Jesus, how long did that take? Like a week?
Like 5 days. You can move pretty quickly on water.
My brother dragged me up there, and one of my buddies from college. Thank God we had a pint of booze. I have pictures. If you saw him, Frank, you'd pee laughing. And it's so my brother knew what he was doing. My buddy and me, I was a total tenderfoot, right? I don't know this. So there's nobody up there. We went through customs in a canoe, Matty. And the day we went in, the ranger and his wife had just showed up. Like, what are you guys doing?
So you get in the water in the U.S.?
Yeah.
And then you go north?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And so
you go across a lake, and there's one point where there's a 250-yard portage.
Yeah.
And 100 yards of it's in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. We did.
So it's on a lake, not a river. You can't go north on a river, can you?
Well, there's a million lakes. And there's
sure,
a million.
That's why it's South Bend. The St. Joe River goes north.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I thought rivers always flowed south for the most part. I mean,
There's a couple in Russia to go north.
There we go with absolutes. We have to be careful about that.
your one of your favorite rivers, Manny, the Cuyahoga, goes north.
In Ohio?
Yep.
Burn, big river, burn.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were the first people there after after the frost was off the water. God, talk about solitary. Talk about it. It was a beautiful place.
Did you see any moose?
We saw a moose in the water.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank God we didn't see any bears. We saw some bear poop, which was a little unnerving enough. But, no, we were, the last day we did 30 miles with five portages.
It's great fun. And that's a canoe. Did it on kayaks much quicker.
Many of the first.
I love flat water kayaking. I have 5 kayaks here in a trailer.
If this is not a canoe show, but if you get in the first time I got in the thing, first I almost turned it over, right?
I assume there's some strategy.
Oh, God, yeah.
To getting in when you're getting in with other people.
Well, let's put this: if it's empty, it's a struggle for one person. You better hop right in the middle and know what you're doing, or you're spinning it. Dan always got in first and held it for me. Anyway, but we were. If you first start paddling, we went maybe, I don't know, not very far, and my biceps are absolutely cramping up, and I was in shape. I'm going, how far have we gone? Now, we had planned to do 29 miles the first day and 7 portages. My brother goes, almost a mile. I go, well, this isn't working. But after a while, you learn where to put your feet, and you learn to turn your entire back, and you learn to use your thighs, and you don't even use your arms. And once you do that, when you use all big muscles.
Oh, Dan is sure thrilled that you weren't using your arms.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, you know what I'm talking about. Your actual stroke, you can't use your biceps.
Oh, no, I know. It's very much like swimming. It's almost the same motion that I did swimming, so it comes very natural to me.
Well, to a certain extent, it's golf. Golf is a lower body sport, not an upper body sport. Well, you've learned that, Matty, right?
Absolutely. Lower and lower body, yep.
All right, so Frank, the numbers came out. We've got the unemployment numbers down a little bit. Still 704,000, which is kind of a lot after 8 months. Spoons are down 12. We're quieting down. The VIX is going down every day, although it's up today. What do you make of this? I mean, I think there's danger in what Biden's people are telling them. We start shutting everything down, I think places are hanging by a thread. I mean, that's just me.
Well, it could be just you.
Yes.
The only reason we're listening to Biden is because Trump's people don't say anything. They quit.
Yeah, they pretty much quit. Yeah.
And they quit on us in March. You know,
well, I don't know about that. But
as soon as we said, hey, no, you can't inject chlorine, he was gone. And the guy who told him that went to work at the pool at the club with the jug. But, yeah, it's scary, you know, especially when you see these ranges that are, you know, they're flatline ranges, basically, even if it's a 150 points wide. You know, there's defined resistance and defined support, and If people get scared, it's gone.
I've never seen range as wide of you, but it is a range.
It is a range, but people think it's wide. Well, geez, that's a 5% wide range. Well, so what?
Well, that's true. All right, Frank.
If it was a stock, $40 stock, that's $2.
Are the Irish going to lose at Boston College like they did last time they beat a number one? I'm going to say no. Are the Irish going to lose at Boston College like the last time they beat a number one?
I hope not.
Yeah, that would be good.
I don't think so. Kelly doesn't sit back on defense like Holtz used to.
That's true. Frank, thank you very much. NASDAQ futures not only down 9, NASDAQ futures up 31. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.